This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Giovanni Battista Tornelli. But we're going to call you Jamba.
Jamba, yes, please. So
that's what everybody calls you. And you're a professor at Verona University.
Yes, professor of viticulture in our degree in viticulture and enology.
And Verona, so yes. Brilliant. But your specialist subject is the ripening of grapes.
Yes, we have been working on it for several years. And the tools now are very different from the past. Now we have very, very powerful tool to study the ripening. And also not only the ripening, but also because we are in Verona, there is an extra period of ripening, let's say, that is after harvest, because Amarone is produced with dehydrated grapes that are stored in rooms for several months. And so we have been studying that process a lot.
So today we're going to talk about grape ripening in general. We might touch on Amarone today, or we might do it next week. It just depends on how we're going. So I want to use this as an opportunity to really just start to understand what happens during the grape ripening process. Just to start off with, though, if you think about a grape ripening, I'm not sure when you do it, but you've got bud burst, little green berries, and then you get veraison, where the grapes change color and they start to swell up. When do you, and then obviously harvest, when do you consider grape ripening to start?
We consider that the grape ripening starting from the veraison. So when the berries change the color and the softness, then it's the real beginning of the ripening. And we have to say that there are many traits of the ripe berry that are accumulated or are formed before ripening. So, for example, the tannins are there before ripening, or the acidity is there before ripening. So ripening is a little bit too much strict to consider what is the quality of the berry at the end. We have to consider the entire process and also what happens before ripening. Of course, ripening is important because then the berry is doing the final rush to the quality. So that's really important on the point of view of the cultivation, the condition, the environment, and whatever.
Okay. Before we get into that, just something I'm aware of, and I'm not sure how true it is. From the moment of flowering to veraison, it's almost like a set time. People often say, you've got flowering and then veraison is going to be 100 and something days later, and then we pick an X number of days later. But is it almost time-based, or is there some other variables that control the speed of?
You're right. It's almost time-based. It's of course, it depends on the variety.
Yeah, so
it's varietal, but it's not environment. So the environment is not affecting that period very much. Mm-hmm. So also we do the same calculation each year. We know the flowering is the 5th of June. So now we do calculation and imagine that the ripening will start at, depending on the variety, 2 months later. So we know exactly when to go back in the field.
To expect Okay, and it varies for grape variety. But obviously flowering isn't always on the 5th of June because flowering depends on the warmth and bud burst and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, not much on bud burst. It's depending very much on the environmental condition, mainly temperature, between bud burst and the flowering itself. So this period can be very short if the we have warm season, warm springer. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the main problem of the climate change. The anticipation of the ripening is in for most part due to the anticipation of the flowering. So if we have a very warm spring, we have early flowering and early ripening. And that makes bring along a lot of problems.
Oh, really?
It depends on the region, on the area of cultivation. In Italy, we start having that problems in most of our traditional areas, because an early ripening means that the traditional variety ripen at too much warm condition.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time we have too much sugar in the berry, and the berry are not so rich in color, in aroma compounds. So we have a not balanced ripening because of that.
Oh, I see. So you get bud burst is temperature related and yes. Climate, you know, it doesn't happen. Yeah. But between bud burst and flowering is all about the temperature.
Yes.
And then once you get flowering, you're on a set time scale to veraison.
Yes.
And if your flowering's early, that means that the ripening period is in a warmer part of the day. Yeah. So the ripening process is different.
Yes, it's very different.
Okay. So the key period really for ripening isn't veraison, it's flowering.
It's flowering.
Yeah.
Flowering is very important. So, I mean, physiologists knows it very well. And so we know... We can also do some prediction about this, there is now in all viticulture congresses, there is normally one day dedicated to the climate change and to this, let's say, issue of unbalanced ripening. So too much sugar, poor acidity, poor aroma compounds, and poor color for the red wines.
Okay, so let's explore that. So we've got ourselves up to veraison. We now understand what's going on there.
Yeah.
Is there anything important? You said that things like your tannins and your acidity are built up during between flowering and veraison. Yeah. But is there anything else that's important there?
Of course, there are some aroma precursors, but the aroma precursors are not easy to study. So there's a lot to do about that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the dimension of the berry, of course. But I would say if we would like to remain in the surface, so acidity and tannins are mainly done before.
Okay.
And then there is an evolution of these compounds, of course. So tannins are maturing during the ripening. So their amount does not change. It's their,
chain length.
Polymerization. Their dimension change, and they are also,
aggregate, get longer.
They get longer,
yeah.
So that their mouth feeling is different.
Smoother,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the acidity, we have during ripening that the acidity drops, but depending on the environment a lot.
Do you still get, the main acidity you get in grapes is malic acid?
Yeah.
Do you get a chain? Well, malic.
We have malic and tartaric, but the tartaric acid is not sensible to the environment.
Okay.
And only the malic fraction is very, very depending.
And the malic acid is the sort of green apple sharp acidity.
Yeah, but in the end, we need a little bit of acidity.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
We don't have to look at the malic acid like the devil of, and we have to. We need some malic acid in the grape in the end.
Yeah, yeah. You said malic acid was sensitive to the environment, because people often talk about, you know, if you've got cold nights, the wine tends to hold on to the acidity, and if it's warm days, it'll tend to lose it. So what's the driver there? Is that the right driver or?
Between day and night, there are some recent studies that indeed they are showing that the night time can be very important. The night temperature mainly. And so it's not a matter only of average day temperature. It's a matter of excursion between the day and the night.
Yeah. And we call them diurnal temperatures.
Yeah, diurnal. And there are not so many studies on that, because when there is one studying that is really evidencing this thing, then you have to wait another year to try it again. So we cannot do it in every time of the year. We have to do it when the grape is ripening. So this study needs time. But one thing to say is that in the area where there are traditional varieties that are grown, those are the area that may have problem in the future. Because, I mean, if I don't care about the variety, I think next year I can change the variety when I change my vineyard and take a variety that is ripening later.
It's not too bad.
But if I am, let's say, if in one region the varieties are determined by the tradition. So, for example, in Verona we have Corvina and some other few varieties that are typical from Verona. In Tuscany they have Sangiovese, and in Piemonte they have Nebbiolo. And in many parts of France they have their own variety. They can't change them. And so that's one problem.
Mm. Although you say that, but you look at the grape varieties, you know, Bordeaux is introducing Syrah and all sorts of grape varieties into their region. So, and I think that's partly to counter global warming. So there is change in grape varieties a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Veraison. My understanding, you can correct me, is that when the seeds are viable, i.e. you can take a seed and you can plant it, That is the point that Veraison occurs, because Veraison is about changing colour so the birds can eat the plant. Yeah. And as far as the plant's concerned, that's what it wants the birds to eat it as soon as Veraison is there, because the rest of it's a waste of energy.
Yeah, let's say that's called physiological maturity.
Yeah.
Which is not the enological maturity. Yeah, physiological maturity is when the berry is ready, has the seed ready to be dispersed and to germinate. Mm. And it occurs very early in ripening, so very few days after Veraison, when the first sugars are accumulating the berry, then the seeds are ready to germinate and maybe to be eaten by birds and whatever. Commercial variety, let's say enological variety, is later. So berries are really, really rich in sugar. And of course, seeds are still able to germinate. A fantasy on that, we have aromatic variety, aromatic ripening or phenolic ripening, which is somehow not so correct. I think the best is to say enological maturity.
Okay.
Because it depends on what is the enological objective, enological
goals.
Goals.
Okay, let's unpick that, because I always think, and it sounds like I'm wrong here, that as grapes ripen, two things happen. First of all, the sugar levels go up and the acidity levels come down, but also you get and we talk about development of, I call it physiological, tannins and flavors. And I often think that grapes go through a process. If you pick grapes earlier, they're going to be more, they might be floral or citrusy, and then you pick them later, they'll get to stone fruits, and pick them later, you'll get to tropical fruits. Yeah. So I do think that flavors evolve, or precursor flavors evolve in the grapes as the ripening process goes on. Is that right, or have I got it wrong?
That's true.
Okay.
That's true, but that should happen in together with all the other parameters. So if we have the sugar accumulating too early and we are thinking to some alcohol potential of the wine, then we have to harvest the grape. And maybe the aromatic evolution, the evolution of the aroma compound is not complete. And that's true. The aroma compounds has a sort of slower evolution. When the not so sensitive to the environment, perhaps, and so they need time.
Yeah, I'm pleased you said that, because I've spent a lot of time trying to understand this, and I've always thought that flavor development was sort of almost set on time scales, whereas sugar and acidity was more climate orientated, and depending on where you are in the world, if you're in a hot climate, and this is the weird thing. In hot climates, you should be, sugars build up quickly, acidities drop quickly, so therefore you should be more greener fruit, you know, citrus fruits or red fruits. But in hotter climates, they often have jammy, ripe fruits.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that.
Yeah, because the hot climate, normally they grow variety that have been tested for that climate. So, for example, some very late variety like Cabernet Sauvignon or they can grow even in hot climate because they have time. You cannot grow in a very hot climate the Pinot Noir,
No.
Because it's too early, ripening variety. So that's, and it's not in the right place if you grow it there.
Well, let's compare Cabernet Sauvignon and Cabernet Sauvignon. Let's say you're in Burgundy. Mm-hmm. What's going on with what would happen to a Cabernet Sauvignon in Burgundy, because it can't normally grow Cabernet Sauvignon; it's a bit too cold for it. Mm-hmm. So, what's going on there, or what would happen?
Maybe in that region, a little bit of warmer seasons. I mean, those regions would benefit of a little bit of warming. Yes, a little bit.
Yeah,
it depends. The viticulture always are looking to a larger evolution of what's happening. So the idea is viticulture will move northern over time. So there are some regions that will maybe lose the possibility to cultivate the grapevine, and some region will acquire it. The region that are in between. There are some regions that will benefit from the warming, and the other ones that will be southern, that will be that in which warming will be critical. So it depending, it depends. Yes.
Let's talk about the ripening of Cabernet Sauvignon in particular. If I was to plant Cabernet Sauvignon, yeah. The plant's been in the ground for 10 years, so yeah. It's nice and mature, and I get. My Cabernet Sauvignon, it's flowering. I'm at Veraison. We know it's going to land up with green tomato stalky type flavors. I get confused here because you've got Cabernet Sauvignon in a cool climate, so the sugar levels are rising slowly and the acidity levels are dropping slowly.
And the aroma compounds are evolving slowly.
So I thought they weren't speed related.
Slowly. Let's in the right time. So this slow increase in sugar and this low drop in the acidity allows the aroma compounds to give time to the aroma compounds to develop.
Yeah,
that's it. And
but I would expect Cabernet Sauvignon in Burgundy to be all tomato stalky and green flavored. If you were growing it, you would think that maybe you could just pick very, very late and have some nice Cab Sav with.
But we are talking also about a variety that is one of the easiest variety to grow. So Cabernet Sauvignon gives most of the times, wherever you put it, very good results. It is a variety that is also not much sensing the environment, not so much than other varieties. So you can grow Cabernet Sauvignon almost everywhere. Think about the Italian viticulture after the phylloxera. All the Italian variety, not all, but many, in many areas, the varieties were substituted by the French ones, Cabernet and Merlot. We have Cabernet and Merlot here in Veneto, in Friuli, and spread around Italy. Why? Because they were very easy to grow.
So things like Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay is another one that's got a big range of climates it can grow in. The effects that are temperature related are less important.
Yes, a little. I hope I don't get
too much complaints.
Yes, but yes, let's say it's that's
for simple purposes.
Yes, that's one reason. One of the reasons why Cabernet Sauvignon is spread all over the world, because it can give very good results in many, many places, whatever the environmental condition. Of course, if you are looking for very fine wines and premium wines, then you need to match.
All right. Well, let's use Pinot Noir then, because everybody talks about that being very sensitive. Yeah. If I'm growing Pinot Noir in England, and I'll be absolutely straight up, I've never had a good English Pinot Noir. I've had sparkling wines, yes, but you don't need ripe grapes for sparkling wine. What's happening to a Pinot Noir in England then? Is it...
I think England is one of the countries that will really benefit from the climate shift, if we are talking about viticulture. So there are vineyards growing there in the south of England, but also in the south of the Netherlands. They are now planting.
What happens to the flavors? Why does Pinot Noir in England taste thin, hard?
Because we are too much in the north.
Yeah, yeah. It's too cold.
It's too cold now.
So
there's not enough time for a quality ripening for that variety. Too north limit for viticulture, even Pinot Noir. I mean, it's also a red variety. Normally, when you would like to grow in very cold area, then the red varieties are not so good. Then you have to do white wines with white variety.
Yeah, but if flavor development is more time based rather than temperature based, I would expect that if I can just leave my vines on the grapes on the vine for a long period of time, then I would get my sugar levels about right, and then my flavor would develop to the point that I'm happy with.
Yes.
But it's green and hard and tannic.
No, it's not. Because the two things should not be considered completely
separate,
independent.
Okay.
So it's a sort of connection between all the parameters of maturity. For example, let's talk about the color and the sugar. So we know exactly from the physiological point of view that part of the color of the grape is triggered by the sugar. So when the sugar starts to come in the berry, they trigger the accumulation of anthocyanin. So they're not
completely
separate. And the one calls the other. And so we have to imagine that the system is very complex. So it's true. The aroma compounds needs time. But you cannot have a good aromatic evolution if your environmental condition are not.
Is it because, obviously, if you're in a cooler climate, your photosynthesis, the time that the plant's photosynthesizing, it's going to be cooler in the morning, so the plant won't be photosynthesizing in the morning. Cooler in the evening, won't be photosynthesizing. So there's a shorter period during the day that it's photosynthesizing.
Yeah.
And is it during that period that it's photosynthesizing that flavors are changing, or does they change anyway even if the plant's not photosynthesizing?
Photosynthesis is mainly related to the sugar in the berry. So normally, also by calculating the radiation and the temperature you have, you can imagine the sugar level that you will have in the berry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly related, yes, to the environment, to that photosynthetic capacity of the canopy.
Yep.
And for the aroma compounds is a little bit different. Yes, you need in that condition that the berry are a little bit irradiated by the sun directly, because you need a little bit of warm also in the berry. The berry can't grow in too cool condition, and so it's not easy to say.
Oh, okay. So what we're saying is, or possibly, is that obviously the leaves generate the sugars.
Yes.
And acidity decrease is...
Acidity decrease is mainly related to temperature.
Temperature.
Yes.
Okay. So the colder it is, the slower the temperature, the slower the acidity drops away. And would it be fair to say that in a warmer climate, the grapes are warmer, so the anthocyanins and the tannins and the flavor changes are occurring because the grapes are warmer and therefore they've got more time to get along that process?
Yes. In a cool climate, you need a little bit of warm. Of course, that's not the case in Italy.
Yeah. You don't have this problem.
So you have to we cannot say we have to avoid the warm condition during ripening, because it's not true. It depends on when what region you are considering. If you are talking about the south of England, then I would say a little bit of more warm.
So when global warming kicks in a bit more and England gets warmer, then we would expect the physiological, the tannins and the flavors to be more evolved, and therefore we should be able to make better wine, even if the, even because of our latitude, because the latitude in England is higher, so the amount of energy from the sun is less. So that will just control how much sugars are built up. When it gets warmer, we'll get riper flavors.
Yeah, I think so. I think it can happen. And of course, you need a lot of, let's say, viticultural practice should be used in that particular condition. So you also have to help the plants to do what you want.
All right. I think I have it now. Let me just summarize. Yeah. So Veraison, hit Veraison, which is governed by fruit set, and it's a set time between fruit set and Veraison.
Yes.
You get to Veraison, the sugar buildup is based on the leaf canopy and the amount of sunlight. The acidity decrease is based on the temperature.
Yes.
And the flavor development is more time related, but you need warmth to get flavor and tannin development.
If you are in cool condition, you need warmth.
Yeah. If you're in a warm condition, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
It's a minimum amount.
No, if you are in warm condition, you need cool night.
Ah.
So if you are in warm condition, then you need, why we say time dependent? Because across the year, the temperature is also dropping down.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And so those cool days in the end of the ripening are very important in the warm region for the aroma.
Okay, we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.